This is Jack Van Empe Presents The Truth in News and Commentary. Here now are Doctors Jack and Rexella Van Empe.
Hello, and welcome to Jack Van Empe Presents. So many people are talking about the first headline that I'm going to give to you right now. The predictions of Jesus become front page headlines. We're going to deal with some of those front page headlines for you in just a moment. And we're going to be talking about it in the most joyful event yet to come. And of course, that is called the rapture.
The Bible teaches that when the Lord returns, He comes with the sound of a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For that great moment when the dead in Christ rise first, and then the living believers are caught up with the dead to meet the Lord in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52.
And then going on, the Los Angeles Times space weather expert has ominous forecast. And then the Wall Street Journal, here comes the sun storm. Oh, dear. And is U.S. ready for a solar tsunami? Oh, now 150 years ago, it melted telegraph wires, if you can imagine that. I'm sorry to say that there are many who believe that certainly this could happen with the end of the earth. It's going to blow up or whatever. Even some Christians believe that this would be the end of the earth. Why would they believe that, Jack?
Well, there are six misinterpreted verses in this book, and they are Matthew 13, verse 39, verse 40, verse 49, Matthew 24, 3, Matthew 28, 20, and Hebrews 9, 26, all talking about the end of the world. Now, that can't be right. Why? Because I've got 120 texts that say the world will never end. Isaiah 45, 17, Ephesians 3, 21. It's a world without end. Amen, amen. And that is what ends every Catholic Mass. The world will not end. Now, what is the interpretation of the world ending in those verses that I said were mistranslated? The world can't end there. Why? Now, watch this. Matthew 24, 3. They came to Jesus and said, "What shall be the signs of your coming and of the end of the world?" It can't be the end of the world. Why? You turn the page. Chapter 25, verse 31. "The Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with all His holy angels, and He shall sit upon the throne of His glory here on terra firma on earth, and there He sits for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 4. So how can you have the end of the world in chapter 24, verse 3, and turn the page, and there you have Christ here on earth? And when He comes to the earth in chapter 25, He says to the saints, the believers, in verse 34, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the prayer we've been praying for 2,000 years. Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So friends, what it's talking about is the end of the church age. The church started on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, and it ends at the time of the rapture. And then the new age starts, the golden age, the millennial age. Amen. And we're going to help you understand this before we're through.
So what you're really saying then, Jack, the Bible teaches that the world will never end, correct?
That's right. Ephesians 3, 21, "Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Ecclesiastes 1, 4, "The earth abides forever." Psalm 104, verse 5, "Yahweh God created the earth, set the boundaries, and it shall never be removed." Matthew 5, 5, Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Not heaven, they're coming back from heaven to inherit terra firma, right here. But how long do they inherit it? Psalm 37, 29, "The meek, the righteous inherit the earth forever and forever." Now, why? Because Jesus is coming back. He's got to have a place to come to rule and reign. He is, yes. That is Revelation 19, 11. He comes on that white horse. The saints in heaven follow Him. The ones who were raptured 7 years sooner are now returning with Him. And he comes as the King of the kings and Lord of the lords, verse 16, to rule and reign 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 4. But then he is recommissioned by his Father in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28. Now listen to the difference. Revelation 11, 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he, Jesus, shall reign forever and forever and forever. How long's forever? Do I have to answer that? It's forever. Now, for the first 1,000 years, we Christians reign with Christ, Revelation 20, verse 4. But after he's been recommissioned, we reign with Christ forever and forever, Revelation 22, 5. Now, let's look at the Old Testament for a minute. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Unto us a child is born, virgin birth. Unto a son is given. That's when he returns. And the government shall be upon his shoulder when he returns. It wasn't here the first time. It's going to be when he returns. And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Amen. Daniel speaks about the end time in Daniel 12, 4, and how the signs are going to be knowledge increasing globally, and it's happened. But he didn't mean the end of the world. He meant the end of the church age for the millennium, the reign of Christ on the earth. How do I know that? In Daniel 2:44, Daniel is speaking about the one world government. It's here through the European Union. He talks about a 10-division world empire. And you've heard me say how the Club of Rome has it all mapped out already. 10 divisions, every nation included. All right? Now, listen to what Daniel says. In the days of these kings, the 10-world-division empire, shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom, which shall never be removed. It shall stand forever. So sleep well. The world's not going to end.
Oh, Jack, I know. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. But could we be the generation really here when the Lord returns? To me, that is the most exciting thought ever. Could we be the generation?
Here's why I believe it at this point in relationship to this date. The old rabbis of Israel taught the six-day theory. What is that? That God created the world in 6 days, Genesis 1:31, and he rested on the seventh day, Genesis 2:2. However, they said a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day with our God, Psalm 90, verse 4. So they said, after 6 days, we're going to go into that period just before Christ returns to earth. And that is 6,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, since Adam, we've just passed the 6,000-year mark. It's that close. And then will come that seventh day, and that is that 7,000th year upon the earth, okay? And who taught that? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Bekai, Rabbi Elias, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Jose, and many others. But wait a minute, the church fathers taught it. If you're a Christian, you'd better believe this. 300 years of that teaching by the church fathers. Who? Well, we had in the beginning St. Barnabas, St. Bartholomew, the 200th year. We had St. Irenaeus, St. Justin Martyr, the 300th year. We had St. Lactantius and St. Methodius. And what did they preach? 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that in the last day there'll come scoffers saying, where's the promise of his coming? Nothing's changed. Wait a minute, God says, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. When? Verse 8, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. The church fathers said the same thing. I just quoted who they were. And the world will go on for 6,000 years, and then our Christ will come, and we are in the 6,000th year. Now, starting with Israel becoming a nation? No, 1948. Starting with Jerusalem being captured by the Jews, and you find that in Daniel 9, verse 24. He says, all these sevens are connected with thy holy city, Jerusalem. No doubt about it. And that's Luke 21, 24 also. All right, now, they took Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. Get this. In 1967. He said, you won't know the day and the hour, Matthew 24, 36, but you'll know when it's near, even at the door. I tell you, folks, it's at the door. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 32, the generation that lives to see all the signs I'm about to give.
Now, the wonderful, wonderful signs that were given by Jesus. Remember I said that they were our headlines now? Jack, you know, before we get into this, would you like to set up a foundation for what we're going to go into?
Oh, this is again exciting. In 63 B.C., Pompey, the Roman general, took the Jews out of their land into Rome, and then empire after empire took them captive, and they were away from home until 1948 without their own nation for 2,011 years, but they also had to be in charge of Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies. And when they were taken out of their land, they were without their own capital for 2,030 years, okay? Now, why is that important? People say, oh, wars, rumors, wars, pestilences, how can those be signs? We've always had them. They're not. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 33, when you shall see all these signs, not just the ones you're going to hear next, but these signs in connection with Israel being a nation and being in control of Jerusalem, then my coming is at the door. You can hear the knock. None of us ever lived to see any of these signs in connection with Israel and Jerusalem belonging to the Jews until our day. It's here. That is what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, verses 5, 11, and 24. There shall be false Christs and false prophets. They're here.
Something else that the Lord predicted, a union of nations that would like to come together in order to annihilate their enemies. All right, let's go on. Russia, Putin says, wants to build Eurasian Union, Iran-Russia Inc. security agreement. Iranian calls for Islamic awakening to destroy Israel. Iranian details plans to annihilate Israel. Well, the Lord said, just before I come back, there will be wars and terrorism.
Spoke it 2,000 years ago, and these are the headlines right now, okay? He talked about wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, in Mark chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. He talked about Armageddon in Revelation 16:16, for the Spirit of Christ wrote that book, and that is when Russia makes the move in Ezekiel 38:1 under the terms Gog, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, and Rosh, and then China comes and joins with them in Revelation 16:12 for the greatest war in history, Revelation 9:14-18, and they unite with Persia, Ezekiel 38:5, to do away with Israel, Psalm 83, verse 4.
All right, there are three more I'm going to put together, and the one you're going to see on the screen right now is certainly moved my heart. I had to cry when I saw it. Senegal's children wail for food. That isn't coming. And then once again, deadly bird flu mutation sparks contagion concerns. And the killer Spanish flu, could it happen again?
100 million died.
Syria uprising creates fear of chemical weapons spread. Now there you have hunger, pestilence, and chemical weapons all in one. There are three that the Lord gave.
Would you say, Jesus, there shall be famines and pestilences, Matthew 24, 7, Mark 13, 8. And when you get to Revelation chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, it talks first of all about this black horse, and the guy sitting on it says, a measure of wheat for a penny. Tremendous starvation going on. For a measure was 16 ounces and a penny was a day's wages. And then when they get to verse 7 and 8 there, it talks about the pestilences. And he said, this horse was sickly looking, and his name was called Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him to destroy one-fourth of the population of the earth through hunger and the beast of the field. And that is what's going on right now. The beast of the field, 25 new diseases. And I want to repeat it again. The flu, the Spanish flu could hit again. 100 million died in 1918.
All right, Jack. I just want to say, friends, we have so many more signs that the Lord gave. And they're all here. There are headlines. And we will give you many more in the days to come. But first, right now, I would like to say, in the light of everything we've given you today, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? He could come at any moment. He's given us everything to look at all around us, and it's here. Are you ready? Have you opened your heart to the Son of God, the Savior of the world? He wants to be your Savior. Will you pray the prayer with Jack as he gives the invitation right now? Jack.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Whosoever, that's you. Look at me and pray these words after me. Lord Jesus, Savior of the world, only Savior, I'm coming to you now. My heart is heavy. I see every sign is here, and that our generation is going to meet Christ. It's in our day. I'm not ready. Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Save me so I can meet you soon with the rest. Amen.
Oh, amen. I wish I could be there with you right now. Pray together and that you opened your heart to the Lord. Write to me. There's my address. I'll send you this little booklet, First Steps in a New Direction. My prayers are with you, that as you walk with Him, you'll have a victorious life over whatever you want to get rid of in your life. The Lord will help you. First Steps in a New Direction. So many times people question what the Bible has to say because of so many people who are objecting. I want to give you this thought. Truth is not determined by how many people believe it, but based on what God has to say, the Bible. Jack has given us so much of the Bible, and I trust that you've taken it to your heart. Believe it today. Look forward to being your home again next week, and until then, remember, God cares for you. So do we so very much. Bye-bye.